The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. When he gets on a topic, well, we stay on it until it's done. This is Alzheimer's Part 3. Hi, Frank.
Hi, how are you doing? Yeah,
I can't remember.
This is a very important subject, and we have done a couple of episodes on it. Now, look, if you've missed about Alzheimer's and dementia, which we've done the last couple of weeks, I highly, especially if you're a caregiver, I would highly recommend go to Robin Hood Radio on Demand, punch in my name, Frank Lally, up will pop the series, and we have some very valuable information about denial in that first episode. And the second one, we talked about sadness and anger, these emotions, very strong emotions that always happen in these cases. So if you missed any of that or want to hear it again, I highly recommend it. But here we are on the wrap-up. This is part three on dementia. And this is as seen through, this is caregiving for dementia as seen through the Germain family. I met them a couple of months ago down at the Alzheimer's Foundation conference in New York City. I was tremendously impressed with them. The father is David, daughter is Emmy. She's a Tulane graduate, wonderful young woman. And they're caring for their beloved Linda. That's David's wife, Emmy's mom. And you know, this is the case. So in so many instances, the disease just comes up, sneaks up on you. It's like getting mugged in an alley. Here was Linda, only a couple of years ago, a very successful fashion executive working for Liz Claiborne, running $1 billion worth of business. And then 4 or 5 years ago, she began to slip. 3 years ago, she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And now, sometimes this fashion executive, this very accomplished woman, needs help getting dressed because she's trying to put her blouse on as if they were her pants. That's why it's such a devastating disease when it hits. But the Germains are just tremendously brave, and beyond that, wonderfully generous. They got up on the stage at the foundation, talked about doing everything they can for Linda. Linda was with them up on the stage. And the Germains have no motive. They don't have a podcast. They don't have a book. They're not trying to sell anything. They just want to share what they've learned caring for Linda that might help other families care for their loved ones. So I have tremendous respect for the Germain family. Now, dementia, if you haven't heard this, it's just cruel. It's a relentless disease. It affects one new patient each minute. That's an astounding fact, especially people over 70 years of age. And so, look, so it's not surprising. Nearly 40 million people in this country are now providing unpaid care for adults, and most often it's people with dementia. And when dementia, and that's the umbrella description of this malady, where you lose your mental capacities slowly but surely. Something like 2/3 of the dementia patients in this country finally get diagnosed specifically with Alzheimer's. So if you're giving care to someone who is losing their mental capacity little by little, this is very frustrating work. And it's also unrelenting. The hours are very long. There's no breaks here. Families, if you're a caregiver for a spouse or a partner with dementia, you're probably averaging something like 45 hours a week of caregiving for that person. That's a full-time job. And remember, many of the people who are doing this caregiving in this country, they're already 70 years old themselves. And about 2/3 of the people who are devoting those kinds of hours to caregiving are also performing medical tasks, nursing tasks that they haven't really been trained for. And that just adds more stress to the situation. So not surprising to me at all that many caregivers say that, look, when I'm devoting so much of my time and attention to helping my loved one, this is harming my health. I'm not feeling as well as I should. And again, we're talking about people who are in their 60s, in their 70s. So, Jill, I've got a very simple message for today and to wrap up this series. And for every caregiver in our audience out there, do not try to do this yourself. This is very hard work. Caregivers need caregivers. And the good news is there are places where you can turn, many places where you can turn, where you can get help. You have a chance to build a network of helpers if you do that. Now, Jill, does that make sense so far?
Absolutely. And, yeah. And it also resonates because, you know, just very briefly, I have friends who are not in their first blush of youth anymore. And sometimes, you know, when we talk, the repetition can be quite, tedious. And mm-hmm. I find myself having to remind myself not to, you know, punch the wall when you hear the story for the 7,000th time. And that's right. Just on a regular, you know, that's not 24-hour care.
That's right.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's just, you know.
Yeah. It's tremendous. It's tremendously frustrating, and it makes you sad. And you know, it can make you very angry at the disease. Don't get angry at the patient. Get angry at the disease.
But the point being constant exposure, you got to have help.
You've got to have help. Thank God you've got to have help. So, and this is not just for Alzheimer's or for dementia. I mean, if someone is diagnosed with a cancer or any dreaded disease, when a loved one comes down with something serious like that, the entire family is affected. And in a way, that's good news, because normally families and friends will rally around. But they need to know, they actually need to know that there's a problem. So it falls on the caregiver. The caregiver must act first. So the first thing you need to do, you're in denial about how serious this is. Certainly the patient is in denial at the beginning. But there comes a moment where you realize, hey, we're in trouble here and we need some help. The first thing you need to do is to convince the patient that it's time to go out and tell as many close friends and family members as possible that we've got a situation here. And that's always tricky. The patient is going to deny it. Who wants to feel belittled? Who wants to feel that you've got someone telling you that you can't remember things anymore and that you might have an accident with the car and you can't drive anymore? You don't want to feel belittled. It can be even tricky. You might be working still, or you may even just be volunteering, or just a person in the neighborhood who's been active and doesn't want to be thought less of. So that's the first problem. Now, here's what David said. David said he went to Linda, not the first time, but he went back to Linda and finally said a number of times, okay, Linda, we don't have to tell anybody about dementia or any of those scary words. Let's just tell people that you're having memory issues, right? That's people when they get old have memory issues, and that's what we're dealing with. And Linda agreed to that. So that opened the door. Then David went, and David has very strong advice on this. Do those first conversations, especially the first ones, face to face with your family and with your friends, because you're going to get people's reaction to it. You're going to see where the questions come and where reassurance is needed. You're essentially going to get your script in order. So David really began with Emmy. We said, Emmy, guess what? Now it's diagnosed as Alzheimer's. We have this problem. Then he talked to Linda's brother, same thing. And then went on, as those got more confidence, he went on to other family members and then to friends. And then finally to colleagues of hers at Liz Claiborne. Now, prepare yourself for this. Not everyone is going to react well. And I know this from personal experience. 10 years ago, when I was diagnosed with my blood cancer, I kept it a secret until I got treatment and I was feeling better. Then I called and saw family and friends and told them about this and said I was on the right track and so on. Every one of those conversations was terrific, just tremendous show of support, except for one. And this one person I got on the phone, we've been friends for 30 years, and she was just very angry with me. How dare you? I thought we were really close friends. You didn't tell me. I know all about that disease. I could have helped you. I'm really upset. Now, who needs a friend who makes your disease all about her? So that was the last conversation I've ever had with her. That's the end of a 30-year experience. You know what? Move. That may happen. Move on. That's what David says. That's what I say. Just move on, because you're going to find overwhelming support. You don't have to waste time with people who just don't get it. So the German family, look, you start sharing things, good things can happen. The things can fall into your lap. So it turns out one of Linda's old colleagues at Liz Claiborne, who's in a divorce, she actually needed a home for a while. And Linda and David said, you know, guess what? Just come and live with us for a little while. Now, that woman provides full-time care for Linda. And better yet, the friend has a young child. And Linda loves the child, and the child adores Linda. And so there you are. If that hadn't been shared widely with friends, you don't find some kind of a solution that just falls in your lap in some cases. Furthermore, David says, he just gets phone calls from Linda's friends and the people that Linda had mentored at Liz Claiborne, just calling up and volunteering to help. They say things like, look, Linda built my career. I couldn't have done half the things I ended up doing if it wasn't for Linda. What can I do for Linda? And this is a part of the conversation where when I've had it with David, this is the part where he gets emotional and starts to choke up a little bit, because he says, you know, they call up and they say things like, can I come over and dance with Linda this afternoon? Linda always loved to dance. So they come on over and they put on some music and the old colleagues dance with Linda. They have a little party and Linda's very happy and she's smiling. She always loved to dance. And the friends are pitching in and taking some of the pressure off David. And how about this one, Jill? A couple said to David, David, let's go to Mexico with Linda. Now, this can be very tricky because Alzheimer's patients, dementia patients, like routine. They get nervous, frustrated. If routine changes, they get scared. But they said, you know, let's talk to Linda about it, and we're all going to do it together. And Emmy's going to come. You're going to come. And better than just taking a trip together, they documented everything. They took photographs of when they were packing, when they got to the airport, when they got to Mexico, the hotel, the dinners they had together. And then the friends said to David, you know what? We've taken all those photographs and we've turned it into a book. It's a memory book. And now they can sit with Linda and they can say to Linda, look, Linda, remember this trip we took to Mexico? And here you are, and here's your daughter, Emmy, and here are your friends. And remember that restaurant? We had so much fun. So here was a patient that, as they're losing memories, this book and this friendship is creating memories.
Absolutely. That's so wonderful. Are there any available medications?
I'm glad you asked that. There are no cures. There are no medications. Forget this, you know, jellyfish. Turn off the TV.
Yeah, really.
There are no clinical trials. Novartis had a trial. They just closed it down about 2 weeks ago. There's nothing that I know of that's promising. There are no gurus, okay? There's no acupuncture guy down the street who can cure your Alzheimer's. David gets very upset about this because he is bombarded with these offers of books and cures and whatnot. It's all a waste of money. Don't fall for it. You want to help? Here's what helps. Exercise. Dancing with Linda helps. And if Linda doesn't feel like dancing that day, go for a walk. Go to the mall. Walk around the mall. Get the blood flowing to the brain. That will help Linda, and you can hold hands and feel close to her. David said this to me, and I got to tell you, Jill, I will never forget this. David said, caring for Linda is the most rewarding thing I've ever done, because it's the most meaningful thing in my life that I've ever done. Done right, caregiving and love for your beloved can be the most rewarding period of your life.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and the health correspondent for Parade. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts, and look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online in store.